blogging for your handmade business. Is it something that you do already? Something that you want to do or perhaps feel like you should be doing to market your business? In this episode 18 of the Business of Making podcast, we're going to give you the pros and cons and discuss why we think blogging is still a really effective way to drive traffic to your business.
Do you want to make it as a maker? This is the Business of Making podcast with your hosts Michaela Denvers, Deb Engelmeyer, and Jess Van Den.
We know from experience that growing a handmade business is bloody hard work. We're here to make it a little bit easier for you by dishing out reality-based, no BS, tried and tested advice on how to make your business work.
Tune in every week for an honest conversation on what it really takes to make a creative business a success. Hey there, maker. Are you loving this podcast as much as we love bringing it to you? If so, we would love to talk to you about supporting us on Patreon. Becoming one of our patrons is a way to support the show and to help us produce it each week. You can help for as little as $1 a month and you get access to behind the scenes, extra content we won't share anywhere else, a link to your shop on our website, and even a shout out on the podcast. To learn more, simply go to thebusinessofmaking.com/support. And now, back to the show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Business of Making. I am Jess, and I am here with my partners in, well, I don't like to say crime, in education. We've got Deb.
Hello.
And we've got Mick.
Hello.
They're laughing at me. And today, we're going to be talking about something that can be a little contentious, especially these days. 10 years ago, it wasn't. 10 years ago, everyone was doing it, and it was the done thing. But these days, maybe not so much. And that thing is blogging. Should you be blogging? Why would you want to be blogging? What's the benefit of it? We're going to be talking a little bit about that today. I think someone in our Facebook group brought this up when we did a bit of a call out for topics. And I know we have a lot to say on this issue. So we're going to get started with that right now. But before we do, I just want to give a shout out to our reviews. We have some really, really lovely reviews from people. And I'm going to read one out at the end of the show. So stay tuned for that. Now, we are going to get into blogging. Why would anybody bother to blog these days, my people?
Two reasons, I think. There's probably more. Two reasons. SEO, to improve your traffic to your website, which would then improve your traffic to your shop, hopefully. And building relationships with your customers, letting them know a bit about you, a bit about your behind the scenes, your process, that kind of thing. Yeah, that's what I reckon anyway.
Yeah.
Two very good.
That means that's the truth.
Yeah,
that's what I think. Yeah, those two reasons are great. I think also because it gives you content to use for your marketing. So when you don't know what to post on Instagram, on Facebook, on Pinterest, in your email newsletter, and you're like, what do I talk about? Blogging really helps you because you have content that you can then share on all of those platforms. So you're not constantly feeling like you're just saying, buy my product. Have you seen my product? And you can actually come in at a different angle. So I think it actually can, although it is a bit more work because, well, you have to write the blog, it also, in a way, makes your marketing a bit easier.
Yeah, I think it's really important, and this comes up all the time. People are like, what do I write on my blog? What do I send to my email newsletter? What do I put on social media? My answer is the same thing. Like, you use the same piece of content and you recycle it across all of those different platforms. Don't start thinking you have to write something on your blog and then write something different on Instagram and write something different in your newsletter because you don't. You can literally just put the same piece of content in different places. You might alter it slightly. You know, you might use a different picture or a different size of picture, but even that's getting complicated. I'm a big fan of using that same piece of content in as many places as possible because you've got to remember, nobody is looking at your business and paying as much attention to it as you are, like in any way, shape or form.
That's so true.
You might think like, oh my God, I'm annoying people by putting the same piece of content in all these places. The chance of not seeing that content in any, even one of those places these days is really low already. So by actually putting it in all of the places, you vastly increase the chances that they're going to get the message at least once. And if they see it multiple times, they'll just scroll past. They're not going to get angry at you. And if they do, well, you don't want them as a customer.
Yeah, then they're not going to buy from you. And so that's fine. They can just go away.
I think that's a really good point, though. A lot of people are concerned, not necessarily just about blogging, and this is going a little bit off topic, but about how often they post to Facebook, for example, or Instagram, for example. And people just need to stop that. Stop worrying that people are going to get annoyed that you're posting so often because they're not seeing it. They're just literally not seeing it. So if you post three times a day, they might see it once. So just get over it.
Like 5% of your audience will see it once.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, most of them won't even see it at all. So, yeah, just get over that fear because it's not a thing.
No, and there's no such thing as blogging too much because let's talk about the SEO element of it for a bit. So that's search engine optimization, i.e., Google juice, i.e. people coming and finding your website. So, you know, there's only a limited number of ways people can find your shop and your website. And Google is a very, very powerful one. And your website ranks higher on Google when you produce more valuable new content on your website on a regular basis. And that's why blogging is so powerful. You obviously want to be creating relevant content that people are going to be searching for that has something to do with your products, ideally. I remember the days, like I used to have a daily blog back in 2008 to 2012. I had like a design blog, whatever. And I literally posted every single day for years, pretty much. And I had a suite of different types of posts I would do. Like, so one day would be, you know, a roundup of products, handmade products that had something in common, like a color or a theme or something like that. Another day would be one of my products with like, this was a big thing back then, like one of your products with like a matching outfit. And, you know, like that was a thing that was done. And other days would be like behind the scenes of my business. Other days would be travel, like all sorts of stuff. Lifestyle stuff, basically. And people were interested. I made lots of connections with people. People left comments in those days. You know, it was a really great way of building community, as Mick was saying, and it can still be that even if a lot of that seems to have moved to social media. Your blog is the place where you can expand upon that and give people more of an in-depth story that you still really can't do well on social media. And also you get the benefit of the SEO. Like if you're spending all of your time and energy marketing on social media, it just disappears into ether. Like you're not getting the long-term benefits of the search engine optimization of the keywords of people searching for you and finding you and coming to your website, which is where you want them to be at the end of the day. So, you know, taking that content that you're putting all that effort into on Instagram, on Facebook, whatever, and put it on your blog. Like don't lose that, all of that hard work you've done, put it on your blog.
I think something we need to address is what do you blog about? Because there's a lot of, you can type in blogging into Google and you'll see many, 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 you know, videos and blog posts like saying that you should blog. But it always seemed to be for people selling services or, you know, not necessarily for people selling physical products. And I know our audience is probably going, well, but what do I write about? And so you've covered a few things, Jess, which is more of a behind the scene, meet the maker, you working on your collection, you seeing samples of the work of, you know, fabrics that you're working on and giving sort of like a little bit of a trying to get people excited. But there's also other things that you can be blogging about. So I think it'd be good if we could sort of give a couple of examples or trying to help people figure out what the content should be about so that you're attracting the kind of people to your site via your blog that are people that are going to be interested in buying your products. Because in the end, you're blogging to make sales, not just because you like sitting on your computer and writing.
That's what I like doing. Well, I thought we could do a little activity here.
Okay.
And it's going to be like a fast action round. Trivia. Okay.
Oh my God. Did I drink enough coffee for this?
I don't know.
I was thinking, well, I need a glass of wine for this, but whatever.
So I'm going to say a type of product and we're going to go between Deb and Jess and you're going to say topic ideas of what might someone be able to post about on their blog related to that product.
So you've got the easy job here, I tell you.
I have the easy job. I like being the person who gives out the instructions.
All right. I'm down for this. Let's try this.
Okay. So first product is handmade, obviously, handbags. So Deb first.
Okay, that actually is not super easy. because I'm trying to think about the audience and I'm like, well, what kind of handbags? Like, what are they for? Like, are they for like school, like student, college students, or are they, you know?
Like, no, I'm let's say to... they're, so I have something in mind. It's like a purse that you would take out with you to go to a lunch with your girlfriends or something. Women like 30-ish, like handbag.
Okay. So I'd either go I'd do a mix of like what Jess was talking about. So like the behind the scene of my studio and all of the different material that goes into it, and next collection is coming and help me pick the color for the leather and blah, blah, blah. And then I'll go into a full more lifestyle, like sort of youngish top, youngish is not a word, but topics. So probably, depending on where my people live, it's like, you know, how to, I don't know. I want to say stuff, but then I'm thinking, is that going to sound a little bit silly?
But this is exactly like what is happening to Deb right now is exactly what happens to people. They get paralyzed. Mm-hmm. So you have an idea for a blog post and you're like, oh, is it silly? Is anyone going to care? And then you don't do it and then you never do anything.
Or like I was worried that it was going to be too broad because I'm like, wait, I'm selling handbags. I'm not selling like, you know, like if you would have told me, okay, this is like a camera bag, then I would go into like camera advice, travel photography, how to find the best, you know, time of the day to take picture. And I don't know, you know, like stuff that's really related to that.
But you can adjust that topic that you just said. So how to find the best time of day to blah. Someone selling handbags could be how to find the best shoes to go with this bag, right?
Just adjusting. So like fashion style. That's why I was like, as well, you need to know more about your customer because they live in a big city like New York, and then you could go into as well like the top 10, you know, museum thing that you could do with your girlfriends this weekend, or, you know, the last three movies that you need to go and watch. But that wouldn't work if you're trying to sell handbags to a mom of three that live more in a, you know, outside of the city kind of country setting. So I think I got stuck because I was like, wait, too broad. Like, I was like, lifestyle advice, like to who, you know? So it sort of goes back.
But knowing your customer.
Yeah, to knowing your customer. It's like, well, what do they want to know about? Like, how are they going to use this bag? Like, who is the person that's going to eventually use this bag? And then what do these people need to know?
Yeah. And that's super important with blogging in general, because you need to use the right language. You need to talk about stuff that's actually relevant to the person who is going to potentially buy your product. You don't want to be writing a blog post about something that they just don't care about or that they actively don't like. You know, you don't want to alienate your actual ideal customer by talking about stuff that is, you know, not appropriate perhaps. And I know we're potentially doing an episode in the future about certain topics that you may or may not want to talk about in your business. So I'll leave that for now. But so yeah, I mean, handbag, like, you know, if it's for 30 something women who live in the city, like favorite cocktails, the same color as the handbag, like whatever, like there's endless a number of different things. Mm-hmm. Remember with blogging, if you're coming out from an SEO perspective, the thing you've got to remember is who is your ideal customer? What do they care about? What are they interested in? And what can you then write about that's in some way tangential as it may be, related to your product that may get them to click on this thing and come to your website? That's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be stuck just because I think a lot of people feel like they have to be talking about their product every single blog post. No way. You do not even have to mention your product. You just have to write about something that they might care about, that they might be interested in, educate, entertain, inform, all of those sorts of things, and get them to your website somehow.
Yeah, I think we should have done this thing with, because I like this game. I think we should have done it was like, here's the topic, like here's the item that I'm selling. And then here's Jess, your ideal customer is this person. She's a mom, she has three kids, she lives there, and that's where she does her job.
I'll put that in for the next one.
No, what have I done? And because then you're like, no, but it's true, because then, you know, this mother example, for example, would have been like time management and how, or, you know, like healthy lunch for the kids that, you know, you can pack quickly. And so
that'll fit in your handbag.
Yeah, I'll like outfit that, like how to stay stylish while wanting to be comfortable because really you're running around all day with your kids, you know, and how to that handbag goes into that picture.
Yeah, snacks that won't destroy your handbag. Snacks for your kids that won't destroy your handbag. Yeah. Like all sorts of stuff like that. You know, there's yeah. kind of endless yeah. possibilities. But I think that definitely just made very clear that if you don't know who you're talking to, you're going to find it really hard yeah. to write a blog.
Yeah. Okay, you guys ready for the second one?
All right.
I think we'll just do two because yeah. they're a little bit more in-depth than I anticipated. So the second one is I'm holding up a candle for the ladies to see. Mm-hmm. And these are beeswax candles. Mm-hmm. And they are for people who are environmentally conscious because there's no additives, no preservatives, no nothing. And the person who makes them is starting a like off the grid permaculture farm.
Oh, so many options.
So many options, right?
Obviously, a behind the scenes of how the farm is going. So mm-hmm. keeping us updated on that. Blog posts about the materials. So why do I use beeswax instead of soy wax? The blog post about the scents or the fragrances, if they are also synthetic, if they're natural scents and stuff like that.
Not like beeswax.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's no scent.
Michaela is just sniffing this candle.
It smells good.
You know, why buy candles at all? Why do people buy candles mm-hmm. when you can just turn a light on?
Yeah, I think you can also...
What are the emotional things, like the rich, have a ritual around lighting your candle when you do certain things? Like, yeah, that's my best for you.
Yeah, you could go into like the interior decor thing. You could go into how to set a beautiful table with like for like a big group of friends because you're having people over and it's a barbecue and you're sitting at a nice table at night. You can go like it does not have to be about the actual candle. It's like what is this candle going to be used for? And if this person is more going to be hosting big dinners because she's more of a community oriented person and she has a big family and blah blah blah, then think about that and keep it in mind when you're like, okay, well, here's a few quick summer recipes or, you know, Thanksgiving, the candle thing, Christmas, the candle thing, I don't know, wellness as well, or the day time for yourself, relax time, you know.
And if you're on trend, like, what is it, hygge? That whole Danish cozy thing that was really big a year or two ago. It's spelled H-Y-G-G-E, but it's like pronounced hygge or something. And that's all about having candles and light, you know, to give you that cozy feeling. Like, you know, if there's something that's on trend, then talk about that as well.
So would you guys agree that blogging can be thought of as building a bigger story around your product?
Yes.
Making it, and then making your customer part of that story.
Yes. And about your brand and potentially about you as well. Let's be honest. The prevalence of reality TV, as much as I personally hate it, shows that people care about people. Like they want the story. They want the dirty details of what's happening in people's lives. And if you're willing to share that stuff, you will get people interested.
Yeah.
So I have another point or a question rather. So I have seen around the traps that, well, okay, two things. Number one, some people just don't prioritize the time to blog. So I guess we can sort of chat about like where on the priority scale should blogging be for a handmade business. But also if you don't then have time to blog regularly, do you think having that storytelling and those descriptive keywords and all that SEO stuff put as part of your product descriptions is a good alternative?
Yes. I think you should. It was number one.
Well, yes, the main, all.
I think you should always focus on the SEO of your product descriptions and titles and tags, and spend like that's where you should put your number one SEO effort, because hopefully people are actually searching for your actual products and you want to rank for those, right? So your blog, to me, the SEO of your blog is twofold. One, it's to make your, if you blog regularly, it will make your website rank above other people's because it's more recent and Google likes recent content. It means that your website's still active. So they prioritize you in the rankings. So that's one important thing. And two, it gives you more long tail keyword potentialities. So you, you know, you can use heaps of different keywords that again, somewhat relate to what your business is about. It might not be directly what your products are, but again, knowing your ideal customer, the things they care about, the lifestyle things they're interested in, the hobbies they might be interested in, that's where you can use your blog to capture that traffic.
Mm.
Yeah. People who might not even know they need or want what you sell might find you that way and then decide they need or want what you sell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And but I think, they wouldn't have found you if they weren't looking, sorry. They weren't, if they weren't actually searching for your product on Google because they didn't know they wanted it.
Mm. And that's maybe more as well. Like I'm thinking about people on Etsy not necessarily having a blog platform with their shop. That's more for people with their website. I'd say because I wanted to also cover, and that's sort of answering all those questions at the same time, like what do you do if really you know you can't blog? Like you hate writing, you're not actually good at it, or you're just really, really realistic and you're like, I can't actually blog. I know I'm not going to be able to commit to this. My thing would be you're going to have in one way or another to create content to market your products. And so if that's going to be on Instagram, if that's going to be by using visuals on Pinterest, or if that's going to be on Facebook or anywhere else, or a vlog on YouTube, in one way or another, you're going to have to create content. And I would consider that blogging in a way, because you're creating that story around your product and sharing more of an emotional, you know, or like trying to engage and create that community around your product. So when people say, is blogging dead now that Instagram, you can do the super long caption? Well, it's changing. So it's definitely not dead. And you can adapt that if you're like, I'm not going to have a blog. That's not working for me. You're still going to have to write those long captions and trying to engage. And you're still going to have to do the exercise that we did here, which is what can I talk about? What do these people want to know? And what are my hashtags, which would be like your keywords in your SEO, are going to be on Instagram. So in one way or another, I think if you're not going to be blogging, you still have to keep in mind, I'm going to have to create content. And in my honest opinion, blogging just helps you make that so much easier, because you have one blog post and then you repurpose, as we said in the beginning, to, you know, Facebook, Instagram, blah, blah, blah. You literally can copy and paste your introduction of your blog post into your Instagram caption if you want to and tweak it a bit. So yes, sorry, that was quite a mouthful. But in essence, yeah, you're going to have to create content. You can work around blogging, but you're going to have to create that content.
And if you're afraid of writing, don't think you have to write these massive long, they're not essays. It's not high school. Mm. You know, you don't have to write this enormous 500,000, 2,000, 5,000 word opus on a topic. Like literally chuck a few photos in there with a few sentences. That's a blog post.
Yes.
Does anyone listening remember Wordless Wednesday? This is a big thing back in the day where it was a meme, you know, you just on your blog posted a photo. That's literally all you did on Wednesdays. And it was everybody did it. It was huge.
Are we bringing this back? This sounds great.
Wordless Wednesday. I'm sure some people still do it. But just don't feel like it has to be this massive wall of text. You can literally just take the photo you put on Instagram, put it in a blog post and write a sentence or two about it, publish it and just make it happen. Because again, that gives you that recency. It gives you that, you know, content consistently showing up on your website and giving you more Google juice. So yeah, don't feel like it always has to be this massive story. And look, let's be honest, people's attention spans are getting smaller and shorter and they're not reading stuff.
People are skim reading.
So don't spread about it. Just do it simply and straightforward. So are there any other topics you guys want to mention? This is, you know, a pretty straightforward episode today. Basically, we just want to reinforce the idea that, yeah, blogging is still pretty powerful. Mm. And if you can work it into your life, you know, I'll be totally honest in that I'm not brilliant at this with Ethereal. It's something that I actually want to get back to this year, probably as you're listening to this in 2019. It's something I want to get back into is more regularly putting blog content on my site, because I want to increase my website traffic. So, you know, I can report back about that and how that's going. But I think it is very important. And how long blog posts can work for you. Like my old website of Real Designs, which I moved off of in, I think, the end of 2012, because I created Create and Thrive then and Ethereal, and I split the two things. They used to be together, and then I decided to kind of split them into two separate brands. That website still gets something like a couple of thousand hits per week, and I have not put anything new on it for however many years that's been. because there's so much content on there and people are still searching for that stuff and still finding it. Mm. That's still sending people through to my new businesses and my new websites.
Mm.
So once you publish something like that on a blog or a website, that can be bringing you traffic for years and years and years, which is not the same for social media. Social media is flash in the pan. It come and go. It's come and then it goes. And sure, someone who finds you a year later might scroll back through your Instagram feed and read that one from 200 posts ago, but the chances are pretty low.
Yeah.
Whereas if you publish that same content on your website, it could still be bringing you traffic years and years later, especially if you've optimized it and you created a pin in Pinterest that you've pinned and then directed back to that blog post. I think we should talk about Pinterest briefly because that is incredibly powerful. When we talk about social media, people kind of gloss over that because Pinterest isn't really a social media. You know, people don't really talk
about it. It's not at all, like not one day. Not at all. I don't know why it's categorized like this. It's serious.
I think it used to be more social. Like back in the day, people would comment on pins and stuff, like really in the early days.
Yeah, and I think they're trying to bring that back, to be honest. Like, I have to do an update at the end of 2019 because they're bringing comments back at something that's going to help your pin do better. They created groups, like you have Facebook groups, you can have Pinterest groups and all of that. They're trying to like bring that community element. So it's changing, but at the moment, it's still like you're not going to go on Pinterest and post a picture of your dog and your friend and family to see it.
Well, I think back, you know, originally, and I think they brought this back as well, is where you can just look at the feed of people you follow. When it was that way, it was more of a social media because you followed people to see what they were posting because you cared about what they were interested in. And then that changed when they changed the algorithm and they changed the main screen and just it kind of lost that really.
Yeah, well, they brought it back, as you said, they brought it back.
Yeah, so you can look at that again now. And Pinterest is by far the biggest kind of referrer of traffic to my, not only my website, but my Etsy shop as well. So, you know, getting stuff on Pinterest is really powerful and we should obviously do an episode on Pinterest. So I won't go into that in too much detail, but that is another way to optimize your blog posts is pin that picture on Pinterest or create a specific image and drive that traffic that way. So
I think it would be really good to talk about maybe workflows of this sort of stuff too because it can sound extremely overwhelming for people. Like, I've got to do this and then I've got to do this. Like, oh, my God. So, yeah, that might be a good thing to do later too.
Yep, for sure. So, you know, basically think about it. If you want to have a blog and you, especially if you have a mailing list, I think it's really great to just whatever you're sending to your mailing list, put it on your blog. You know, publish the stuff on your blog and then send it to your mailing list, whichever way around you want to do it. It doesn't really matter. But if you're sending a regular email already, put the stuff on your blog and get the benefit of that long-term traffic that it could be bringing you, definitely. And if you have any questions about blogging or some comments on what we've said today, come over and share it with us in our Facebook group, thebusinessofmaking.com/Facebook. Deb's like, I have something else I want to say.
Sorry. I want to leave you with a question as a way to think about what we've talked about today, which is for those of you who are still thinking, I cannot blog, I'm seriously not going to commit to this, too much on my plate. Then my question will be, then what will you be doing to market your products? Because I'm fine with you saying I'm not going to blog, but then please let us know. Come in the Facebook group, let us know. We can brainstorm with you. What are you going to do then? Because if you're not going to be blogging, you're going to have to do other things. And is that going to be more efficient on a workflow, as you were saying, Michaela, point of view as blogging? Maybe not. Maybe blogging is actually easier in the end. So just, it's fine if you're not going to be blogging, although we're really trying to say, please do start a blog. But then what? Then what are you going to do instead? Like you have to think about that. Anyway.
And how effective is that actually going to be in the long run, not just the short term as well. Cool. Alrighty. So, we wanted to say, as I said at the beginning, a huge thank you to everyone who has taken the time to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or on our Facebook page. It's really wonderful. We absolutely love reading the reviews and it helps, especially on Apple Podcasts, leaving a rating and or a review really helps people to find the show. So if you do feel it's valuable, we'd really appreciate you taking a minute or two to just leave us that rating or review. And we want to read out this really wonderful one from a Pommy in Melbourne. Who left us a 5-star review that is titled A Refreshing Take on Makers Podcasting. And this person says, there's a lot of podcasts out there targeting makers, designers, and advice for small business. I often find myself listening to them thinking, this has nothing to do with anything. These girls are relevant. Their ideas are refined. Oh, thank you. And I am really enjoying how applicable their advice is for a real small handmade business. We'll definitely keep listening. Thank you so much, Polly and Melbourne.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to write us such a lovely review. It makes us smile. We share these with each other.
I like being called refined, or my ideas.
Yeah. Yes. I know, that's like the last thing I've ever thought of being.
I was thinking, when I can't speak English and I sound so French, do I sound really refined? I'm not sure.
Because we don't know what you're saying. Sure.
We're all here with our top knots and our messy hair now.
Very refined.
Thank you. Our ideas are refined. So we've all been thinking about this stuff for a very long time. So thank you very, very much for that. And, leave us a review and you might get yours read out on the podcast in future. So yay. All right. So let's finish up for today. Thank you so much for listening and taking the time to learn with us. And we will be back again next week with another episode of The Business of Making. And goodbye for this week.
Goodbye.
Bye.